Jump shot. It goes. Zach Randolph does it again. 3-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show, Thursday edition of the show today. As always, Joe Mullenix from Grizzly Bear Blues joins us every single week. Taking a break over the past couple of weeks, we had the trade deadline. Last week, I got caught up with some work stuff, but we're back on track this week. Joe, what's going on, man?
Mark, you can be honest. Every once in a while, you get frustrated with me. You hear me too much or you read me too much. I'm all over the place. And you just need a Joe break. I get it. Everybody, you know, there's an all-star break and then there's a Joe Mullenix break. And you just need to take a Joe Mullenix break. I understand. You're not hurting my feelings.
Look, you're not the longest tenured Grizzly, Locked On Grizzlies guest for no reason, Joe. I mean, come on now. I mean, that's not an award. I want to make you an award. You can put it on your mantle. You know,
I would build a mantle just to put the award on it.
There you go. It's been since we have not had you on since the All-Star break. So we'll talk about that with you. So the trade deadline stuff with the Grizzlies as well. Grizzlies get back on the right side of things in terms of playing games, thank God, because I miss basketball. I like the All-Star break, but at the same time, I really don't like the All-Star break because there's too many days without basketball in my life. It's how I feel during the summer. And I can never get really used to it.
That's one of the great things about the NBA, right? And obviously Major League Baseball has this going for them, and hockey to an extent as well. Something that's different from the NFL and the XFL now even. There's games during the week. There's almost always a game on, even if it's not your team that's playing. Obviously that's the main difference with baseball. Your team is playing almost daily in the baseball season. With basketball, there's always NBA basketball on, except for the days after the All-Star break. So it's definitely a bit of withdrawal. I do think, and I know you know this, Mark, from your time with us at GBB, we look forward to catching our breath a little bit in terms of churning out the content. I know you obviously with the podcast in a similar boat, but, you know, especially with the team being as good as they are, you know, they're obviously a lot better than they've been the last 2 years, and the playoff push again, where we haven't experienced that in some time. So it's going to be fun to watch this team play. And we haven't talked, I know, since I was in person at the Grizzlies-Wizards game when they were in D.C. covering for GBB, and I saw your boy Ja Morant post his first triple-double in person. That was pretty impressive. So there's a lot of things to be excited about if you're a Grizzlies fan. And it's not like last year where you were like, okay, let's just kind of get to the end of this and see what's going to happen with Mike Conley and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Now you're definitely closer to the beginning than the end, obviously, of whatever this era is going to look like, and you want to see what the next exciting kind of chapter or turn in the story is going to be.
It definitely feels different in terms of the second half of the year, because you had, like you said last year, you had to where you just kind of wanted to get to summer because you knew that's when they were going to trade Mike Conley, and or you thought, you know, you thought that's what was going to happen. You know, like that's the most likely scenario. And then you get there and you just want to see what happens. And then now it's like, well, there's not much to do other than see how good these guys can be together and continue to grow. So it is a different terms of scenario in terms of the way it feels. And because now it's like, I really don't want the, you know, you don't really want the season to end. I mean, I'm not a baseball guy, so I don't really watch baseball. So like my summers are pretty boring. I just lay by the pool most of the time. So like there's not much for me to do if there's not basketball going on. So it's very different in terms of the way I guess probably a lot of people feel about this team in terms of the second half of the season. Where do you land on the All-Star game? You like the All-Star game, or you think it's like, I mean, I think a lot of people are either like they love it or think it's like a waste of time.
I think it was a complete waste of time until this year. until they made the changes that they did, I was very much, you know, the Pro Bowl, I think most folks agree, is the worst All-Star game.
Yeah. Like,
they just 100%. Might as well not play that. Because football is obviously different than all the other major sports where there's actual physical violence on a nearly every down basis. It doesn't make sense to play a meaningless game where people can get hurt that way. So,
right.
And anybody who's ever played sports, especially at a high level, knows, or even if you just watch it at a high level, the time that you're most likely to get injured is when you're not trying, when you're just screwing around or you're like actively looking to avoid it is usually when you get the most injured. So I hate that about All-Star games. It makes me hold my breath and just hope for people to get healthy. This was different because of the changes they made. I think that you should give some credit to Kobe Bryant and his wanting to honor his memory. I do think the players, to an extent, wanted to be that MVP. You heard Kawhi Leonard talk about that, the first Kobe Bryant MVP award winner of the All-Star game. I think the end of not ending with a clock, but ending with a score that you're trying to get to definitely made that fourth quarter a lot more interesting. The fact that they actually tried and competed, I tweeted this out, and I know other people did too. You saw the greatest pickup basketball game in the history of basketball is what that was. In terms of effort, yeah. It was amazing. You had literally the very best on the planet in basketball. I'm a big believer that the greatest athletes on earth are NBA basketball players because of what they're able to do in terms of their leaping, their jumping, their sprinting. You have to do a lot of different things in a basketball game as an athlete. So you're, in my opinion, seeing the best athletes on the planet doing what they do best. You literally had 7 or 8 lock Hall of Famers on the court at the same time, near their peaks or at their primes, competing their tails off. It was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed that. So to answer your question, leading up to this past Sunday, I would have said that I hated the NBA All-Star game. I like Saturday night. I like the Rising Stars and all that stuff. I would have kept that and just done away with the game. After Sunday, I had a blast, and I think that this definitely is one of the more successful All-Star weekends that the NBA has ever had because of how good that game on Sunday was, in addition to the other activities.
I thought it was great, too. I fall right in line with what you said. The changes they made at the All-Star game, like, I'm all for it. Let's keep those changes going forward. Like, at first, when I first heard about them, I was really confused because it was, like, written down, and it was really hard to understand because I was just, like, reading it over. I feel like an idiot, like, reading it over and over. Like, I just can't comprehend it sometimes. So, it was – once you saw it all play out in the game, I thought it was really good. It was obviously much more fun than what you have had in the past. And I saw Chargers in that game, which I thought was fantastic. So, I'm all for it. I want to keep the way it is. I thought it was a great game as well. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about the Grizzlies trade deadline with Joe Mullins coming up next. Talking with Joe Mullenix like we do every single week from Grizzly Bear Blues, site manager over there. Great site. Make sure you guys go check it out as well. Let's talk a little bit about the trade deadline. It hasn't been – we haven't had you on since the trades happened. First of all, what were your, I guess, overall thoughts about what they got with Jang, I guess, and Winslow were the two main pieces there, but and shipping, obviously, Jay Crowder and Solomon Hill and with all that. What were your main thoughts on just what they got back?
It wasn't a home run, but I think it was a double. And what I mean by that is, you know, Andre Iguodala was obviously nothing to the Grizzlies aside from an asset. And that relationship ended before it started, and it was more annoying than it ever had any business being. You and I have talked about this, and I've written about it, and it's been said elsewhere. And Memphis falls in love with veterans who like the city. And I think that we've developed an overinflated vision of what Jay Crowder was, or not we, but Memphis,
right.
Or a majority of Memphians. You know, Jay Crowder was a good basketball player. He is a good basketball player, but he was not some savior, or he was not some, you know, Yoda to Ja Morant, Luke Skywalker. It wasn't
right.
That type of thing. And it's not like Jay Crowder was shooting the leather off the ball. He was under 30% converting from three, and he was taking the second most threes on the team. You could easily argue that from a basketball perspective, Jay Crowder especially was hurting the Memphis Grizzlies. So I hope he does well in Miami. Same thing with Solomon Hill and even Andre Iguodala. He got us a first-round pick and Justice Winslow. So, cool. I'm fine with those guys going to the Heat, and hopefully they go on a run. As far as what the Grizzlies got in return, obviously they waived Deion Waiters. I think that was the right decision. The two main pieces were James Johnson, who was flipped for Gorgui Dieng of the Timberwolves, who's now obviously Gorgui is now a Grizzly. And then you have, of course, the main trade piece, Justice Winslow. Justice Winslow is going to be a starter for the Memphis Grizzlies. I don't know when that's going to happen. It could be in March. It could be in April. It could be in October when the season gets fully underway for 2020-2021. But at some point in 2020, Justice Winslow is going to be the starting small forward for the Memphis Grizzlies, and I think that's the right decision. Winslow right. fits and checks a lot of boxes that this front office obviously likes. He fits in the window of competitiveness for Ja and Jaren. Justice Winslow is 23 years old, same age as Brandon Clark, same age as Tyus Jones, yada, yada, yada. Justice Winslow has shown the ability to make the three. He hasn't done it on a consistent basis lately due to injury, but when he's healthy, he can be a high-volume three-point shooter and convert at a decent clip. He's a playmaking wing. You could argue his second position beyond being a small forward is the point guard position. So he's another guy who can create off the dribble. He's another guy who can facilitate offense beyond the point guard spot, which will help Ja Morant. He can defend every position on the floor, one through five, depending on matchups. Like, he could easily be a center against the Houston Rockets, for example, who don't really have centers anymore.
Right.
Winslow could easily be that guy.
No centers, no.
Right. No, that's exactly right. So even against a traditional team, you know, positions one through four, Justice Winslow can defend. People talk about needing a Zion stopper moving forward, somebody to slow down Zion Williamson. I don't know that it's possible to stop Zion. The only thing that might stop Zion is his own weight and health. Right. I don't mean that like in a fat way. Anybody who says Zion Williamson is fat I rarely take this strong of a stand, but they're an idiot. They're an idiot if they think Zion Williamson is fat. But muscle and fat are still weight. You know what I mean? So he's still right. a giant human being. Regardless of the fact that he's, you know, not fat, he's muscular. So it might be his own weight that negatively impacts him. But I don't know that you can have a Zion stopper. But Justice Winslow on the perimeter has the athleticism and the length, the capacity to be someone who could theoretically slow him down in addition to Kyle Anderson, all that kind of stuff. He checks a lot of boxes, and they got him for, again, Andre Iguodala, not a part of the plan, Solomon Hill, and Jay Crowder, both guys who are here literally because they fit into cap space and they were part of larger deals. And in the case of Solomon Hill was a Memphis Grizzly because he wasn't Chandler Parsons. I mean, that's right. exactly what that was. And he was better than Miles Plumlee. That's why Solomon Hill was a member of the roster. So credit to Solo for making himself an NBA player again. I think he has a career beyond this season, which he certainly couldn't have said when that trade happened this past summer. Credit to Jay Crowder for the work that he did. They both were tremendous veterans, all pros in terms of being good vets for these young guys. But at the end of the day, this is not about this season. And I credit Zach Kleiman. I had a chance to talk with him in D.C. for about 5 minutes or so before the game. Credit to him and his front office. They continue to keep their eyes on the prize down the road. They didn't anticipate being this good this year. It's a pleasant surprise. But Justice Winslow, even if he didn't play a second this season for the Memphis Grizzlies, and Kleiman, by all indications, says he thinks he will, even if Winslow didn't play a moment for the Grizzlies in the rest of this campaign, it would have been a solid single or double in terms of a trade, because Justice Winslow, when healthy, is a difference maker for these Grizzlies and arguably the third or fourth best player on the team, if he is what he is capable of being. Obviously, the big question is if, but Memphis isn't concerned. This isn't the Chris Wallace days where, you know, an injury would linger and that sort of thing. De'Anthony Melton came back from a similar injury, and obviously he's having a great season for the Grizzlies off the bench. So I don't see any reason, as long as they're, you know, taking the proper precautions, that Winslow won't come back and be an immediate contributor once he does for the Grizzlies.
You mentioned, you mentioned that you thought waiving Deion Waiters was the right decision. In terms of just getting that money off the books, you thought it was good to go ahead and just get him out of, you know, out of the front office, even just not having him around. Like they did this with Iguodala, obviously, you know, they want, you know, you can't trade the contract once it's gone. So you're still, I guess you're all in on just getting rid of Waiters right away.
I think it speaks to how low he's viewed by the other 29 teams in the NBA. I mean, it's hard.
Right.
I know one of the criticisms of waiving Waiters that early was, well, what if somebody wanted his expiring contract? What if somebody simply wanted to buy him out? And you don't know that that possibility is going to be there. And if it is there, it's not like you're going to get a first rounder for it like you would with an Andre Iguodala. Andre Iguodala is a respected NBA veteran who is a former NBA Finals MVP. Deion Waiters is none of those things at this stage. And if Deion Waiters was such a hot commodity, he would have been snatched up immediately coming off of waivers. And to the best of my knowledge, that hasn't happened yet. So
right.
It's not like he's somebody that everybody wants on their roster. I do think that's important to point out. And it allows for the Grizzlies to have a roster spot that if there's someone on the Memphis Hustle who suffered a tough loss on Wednesday night, whether it is another G Leaguer that they want to offer a 10-day to, you know, if they want to convert Yuta Watanabe or John Conchar, their two-way contract guys right now, to a multi-year deal, it gives them more flexibility with what they have moving forward to make a move. They no longer have to worry about that spot being held by somebody who's dead salary. Obviously, waiving Deion Waiters makes him dead salary next year. He's still going to get paid, even though he's not playing for Memphis. But at least they have the chance, whether it's a trade, whether it is, like I said, converting one of their two-way guys or signing somebody else off the street. If somebody gets injured, heaven forbid, they can sign a free agent. It just creates more flexibility than they would have had otherwise. And they saw that as more valuable than having a potential trade chip for someone whose value has clearly fallen a pretty good amount for the NBA. I mean, Memphis probably had to take on Deion Waiters just to have a sniff of Justice Winslow in that deal. It comes down to how much you value Justice Winslow. I think Winslow is going to be pretty good, or at least he has the potential to be pretty good. So I'm okay with what they had to do to get rid of Waiters if it means Winslow being in Beale Street Blue.
I like the rationale there. I would have probably liked to see them hang on to him at least through the summer just to see what's out there. You know, you never really know. And then if you, you know, obviously you don't get anything throughout the summer, then you go ahead and let him go. But either way, it's done now. Let's take another quick break. We'll be right back. We'll finish up with Joe Mullinix from Grizzly Bear Blues. Welcome back to the show. Talk with Joe Mullinix from Grizzly Bear Blues like we do every single week. Finishing up with you, let's look forward to the rest of the year. Obviously, the Grizzlies have a very, very tough schedule. The Pelicans have one of the easier schedules. Where do you view this team in terms of making the playoffs? Is it a realistic scenario for you? I know it doesn't matter if they make them or not, but is it realistic in terms of the schedule they have, the guys, the teams are trying to hold off, them to look at and say, the playoff race is a very real thing for us, and we can make this, you know, we can make the postseason, and we can take the Lakers to, you know, four games, hopefully five games, maybe.
Take them to four games is probably the scenario, but I do think that at this stage, you know, my rallying cry has always been expectations, right? And sometimes that gets perceived as negativity, or, you know, people want to say, oh, what about those expectations? No. When people do that, they're just kind of proving my point. The Grizzlies are much better than anybody anticipated them being. Like, they literally beat the Las Vegas over-under before the All-Star break. Nobody had that. You know, even the most optimistic prognosticators, like myself, who's put them at, you know, 29 or 30 wins, that they're going to blow past that before the end of this month, more than likely, even if things go poorly for them. So I don't necessarily think that you can look at this team and say that they don't have a chance, because obviously they do. But as long as you manage the expectation and you understand the schedule, you understand what the Pelicans are looking at in terms of the ease of their schedule, the talent that the Pelicans have, the dominance of a Damian Lillard for the Trailblazers if he comes back healthy, the fact that Greg Popovich is still a living, breathing person, and because of that, every Grizzlies fan should be terrified that the Spurs are still in this conversation.
Right.
There's a lot of things going against the Grizzlies, but that doesn't mean that you can't be excited, and that doesn't mean that you shouldn't look forward to this playoff push. It does mean that you need to continue to manage your expectations, and you can't be disappointed. Like, for example, this four-game road trip to start the post-All-Star break slate is brutal. You know, beyond the Sacramento Kings, they're in L.A. for a long weekend, which, side note, can we all agree we're going to be jealous of the Grizzlies? They play on a Friday
100%.
Night. 100%. And then they don't play again until Monday. So they literally will have a Friday night and a Saturday night where they're going to be able to hang out in Los Angeles. Imagine being a 23-year-old like Tyus Jones or Brandon Clark. Now, I can't say a 20-year-old because obviously that limits some of the fun that that John Jaren could potentially have. But, you know, to be young and a millionaire in Los Angeles for a long weekend, I wonder what that must be like. But anyway, they have the Lakers, they have the Clippers on Monday night, and then they have the new look, weird look, Houston Rockets on Wednesday. It's more likely that they go 4-0 than they go 3-1. And I think anybody who's logical about this team would agree with that. That is a more likely scenario that they go winless. I think they go 1-3, and I'm going to call that a success because if they pick up one of these four games, that means that they're at least holding serve when it comes to a Portland Trail Blazers, you know, or one of these other teams. It's unlikely that somebody goes on a run among those four except maybe the Pelicans, but the Pelicans are, you know, five games back. So if the Pelicans game a game or two on you in the next week, that's not a disaster. You'll have a chance to make up that ground, especially in head-to-head games. So I don't think that is – if you are capable of maintaining your expectations and you see it as icing on the cake, that's truly how I see it. I hope they make the playoffs. That'd be terrific. But they could lose literally every game the rest of the season. And my goal for them was to beat the over. That was my goal the entire time, to beat the over. And I had a hot take in my preseason preview all the way back in the fall talking about – they're going to have a winning record post All-Star. Now, obviously, that looks especially hot takey after the way that that schedule has shaped up. You don't know it's going to be that tough when the schedule initially comes out. But I still think that if I hold to that and they go 15-13, you know, 43 wins is a massive success. Anything over 40 is a miracle if you consider what everybody thought this team was going to be. And this season is already a success, regardless of what happens the rest of the way. You want to stay healthy, of course. I think that should be at the forefront. And how they utilize Justice Winslow moving forward is going to be interesting to see, because obviously that's going to impact the short and long term in terms of chemistry, how he gets integrated from a reserve role to a starting role, if that happens this year, if they wait till next year. That'll be a fun storyline to watch play out. But I really do think that they have a chance at the playoffs. But you also have to understand that the odds are stacked against them. Essentially, the field would be a smarter bet than the Grizzlies when it comes to who's going to get that 8 seed. And that's okay. That doesn't make Taylor Jenkins a failure or Ja Morant a failure or any part of this a bad thing. They have shown the capacity to compete at a pretty high level at an extremely early stage of this rebuild. They have multiple first-round picks. They have expiring contracts. They have no max contract on the books right now, which is just amazing to me. Not a single bad contract is on their books. They have cleaned up this organization from a cap standpoint, a covered draft pick standpoint in one calendar year. And I think they're to be commended for that. They've earned credit from me for that. And I'm going to enjoy the ride, if I'm being honest. They're going to be fun to watch. They lose a game. It's not going to be a make or break for me. I feel very comfortable with where they're heading as an organization, as long as they're able to keep their two main young stars, Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant, healthy through the rest of this campaign.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, what they have done in this with this team in such a short time is nothing short of impressive. And I said this earlier last week on my show when I just, you know, the kind of the trade deadline reaction show, which is still up, by the way. You can go listen to it. So go take a listen if you want to hear my take on it all. But I said this then, and it still applies. If, you know, the Grizzlies are going to continue to do this over and over, like they have proven that they're clearly good at getting players right. Brandon Clark, Tyus Jones, D'Anthony Melton, like they clearly are proving that over and over again. So I'm going to take their word for it on Justice Winslow. I think Justice Winslow is going to be good too. But in terms of the front office, I'm just going to say I'll take the word for it for now, because so far they've done a really, really good job on all the other players they've gone out and gotten themselves. I mean, you could say Marco is probably not, you know, that guy hasn't, you know, he's probably the one miss, but they're not always going to get it right, you know, and there's, I don't think Marco is probably a player in this league, as we've seen, but you're not going to get them all right. But for the most part, they have, and I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Joe, I appreciate you coming on. Again, make sure you guys go check out Joe's stuff and all the other Grizzly Bear Blues writer stuff over at grizzlybearblues.com. It's a great site over there. Joe and his staff do a great job. Joe, I appreciate it. Let's do it again next week.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Mark. As always, appreciate you, buddy. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, man.